Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Thank you for joining us wherever or whenever you are listening. You are now rocking with the best. Soul on Ice, the podcast. My name is Kwame, your host, joined once again for our playoff edition. Jordan Buhart, better known as an actor out of Los Angeles, California, born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. You might have seen him on the show Grownish, and you will see more of him in the future. I guarantee that. But right now, what's more important than anything else is the second round of the NHL playoffs, and it is a doozy. My goodness, game two, Edmonton, Calgary, the Battle of Alberta has been the best yet. Let's get your thoughts on how they started off in game one, but more importantly, your thoughts on how you felt about game two for the Oilers.
Well, there's a bit of a combo there because game one and game two started pretty much the same way. Within the first 5 minutes, Oilers were down 2-0. I can't even remember. I think in the first game, they were down 3-0 by that point. Mm-hmm. So the starts have been a bit of an issue for this series. But once they get their systems going, they look like they've been able to lock it down. Same thing with Smith in the second game. He was able to kind of lock it down after a shaky first couple minutes. Mm-hmm. That first game was pretty much a write-off because it was so high scoring. That is not indicative of Calgary's game. It's not necessarily indicative of Edmonton's defense. So you didn't really get a good read until I think the second game.
Okay.
Now you can, now that the second game's over, you can confirm that, you know, Johnny Hockey and Matthew Tkachuk, they're playing hard and they're skating really well. And the defensemen are playing just as big as they are over in Calgary. But in the second game as well, you can tell that the unstoppable force of McDavid is something to worry about for Calgary. Whereas they thought maybe, you know, you can just kind of shut him down and then work around that. But now they really have to focus on him, and the depth of the Oilers might be able to actually step up the way that they are needed to.
You know, what I thought was very interesting about the two games, the first game, like you said, I think that was a write-off. I don't know what happened to the Oilers. They did get into their groove later on in the game, and unfortunately they lost at the end of it. We're totally biased Edmonton fans over here, but the second game, I thought after the first two goals, I wasn't confident in anything happening that would be anywhere in the Oilers' favor. But what I thought was very interesting is, like you said, they settled in. Like, the start was so quick and it just felt like they needed to settle in. And once they settled in, it was, you know, everything was just flying off the shelves. And, you know, in my opinion, I felt like that the Flames looked like they were tired or they slowed right down. And it just seemed like the Oilers turned it around, and they're the one constantly coming in, beating it in. And I was like, wow, this is incredible hockey to watch right now. And man, if you don't think that Connor McDavid is like the best player right now, then I don't know what more he needs to show you. He is incredible. And I thought that the Oilers put on a great show, and I think it's going to be a very tight series. One thing I wanted to ask you about was the I don't know if you heard about it or saw it, was the chirping from Matthew Tkachuk to Evander Kane. Did you see that or hear about that?
Of course I saw, because they highlighted that all over the broadcast. They put the camera one on Tkachuk and one on Evander Kane for the a solid couple minutes there. Yeah, and you know, that's exactly what I thought would happen going into this series. I thought that Evander Kane and Matthew Tkachuk would almost be each other's, not equal, but you know, they would butt heads and not cancel each other out. But I think you know what I mean. I thought in a previous year, that would have been Kane and Lucic, or heck, if it was in the Flames' favor, honestly, it would have been Lucic and Tkachuk being able to just, you know, shut up Evander Kane. But right now it looks like it's between Kane and Tkachuk, which for an Oiler to limit Tkachuk's usefulness on the ice, not like game one, is ideal.
The chirp was about Evander's money situation.
Oh, and so I didn't know about this.
You didn't know that one?
I didn't hear about that. I only saw the visuals. I didn't hear the specific chirp.
Okay, so the chirp was he was saying to Evander, do you want some money? And he kept doing the money symbol with his fingers, you know, scratching his fingers, saying, do you want some money? And obviously that goes back to the fact that he filed for bankruptcy and he's had some money troubles. Sure. So my question to you as a fan of hockey, do you know, we know that chirping is a part of the game. Do you think that kind of steps over the line because it has to do with something that's very personal? That's, you know, this guy's lost a lot of money. No fault to anybody else but his own. But, you know, again, do you think that, you know, it's open season to chirp somebody like that, or is that too personal?
I think once it gets into more personal kind of stuff, there is an over the line situation. I think that was one, and he was losing. Matthew Tkachuk, I think, I can't remember when it happened, but it's whether they're winning or losing, I think that is over the line, because you can chirp anyone about their game, heck, you know, about their game through the season, through the play, the breath, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, think of something that is, you know, because if it's about family, if it's about sickness, if it's about we watched Will Smith absolutely get triggered because someone spoke about his family, right? And so if things get personal, people are like, hey, you know, take a joke, all this kind of stuff, you know, maybe shrug it off and all that kind of, but it's more so that just shows what kind of person that Matthew Tkachuk is, what kind of lines he's willing to cross, which I believe he did. It's just not necessary. You're a fantastic player, Matthew Tkachuk, if you're watching this, because he obviously watches all our podcasts.
Of course.
So play your game in, you know, just, you don't need to cross those lines. So learn from this and kind of move on from that.
Yeah. Cause again, I think, as a fan of the game, a fan of the physical aspect of hockey, I don't mind the physicalness. I don't mind the chirping. I do think that, like, okay, come on, man. Like, you don't have to say that. Like, that's, you know, that's something that's going to affect the guy for the rest of his life. And, you know, he made some bad choices. And I don't know. Are we saying this because we're Oilers fans? I don't know. Would we feel the same way if somebody said that, something very personal, Matthew Tkachuk? I want to hope that we would. I just don't think you have to go like this. I think that there is a certain line of chirping, and even if being, when it comes to fighting in the game, that you just, like, you know, if a guy's smaller than you, don't fight them. You know, if something personal happened to a person's life, like you said, sickness, money situations, I don't know, maybe stay away from that.
There's, as an Oilers fan, I had to immediately, the second Evander Kane was signed to the Oilers, there was a divide between people who just wanted the team to do well and people who just thought that Evander Kane was absolute trash. And that's including many Oilers fans who didn't like the signing at the very beginning. And now who's actually arguing with that? And let me tell you. But there, I always like to believe, okay, if someone's paying for their, no pun intended in that, is you know, trying to recover from situations that they've gone through in the past, that if they're showing that effort, there's no need to rub it in their face. There's no need to bring that kind of sort of situation up. Just hope the best for them. And if they're repeating, then again, there's still no need to just throw it in their face. Just, you know, the people that will deal with it will deal with it. And if, you know, it's a bully move, and you know, it is a tactic he's using to get under his skin. And so far, you know, Evander's hasn't necessarily shown that he is being pushed far over. He's doing his job and retaliating for his team. Of course, I can never know. I can't, you know, be inside his head. So
I think he, you know, it will be effective if, you know, you see Evander constantly being pulled into the penalty box for unnecessary penalties. So far he's been holding his cool. And hey, that's the debate. Is it crossing the line? Yes. Is it crossing the line? No. Who knows? It's on those guys. They're big boys. They can handle themselves.
It's contextual. There's so many different other things that people are yelling on that ice, and different people, and where we would say, yeah, that's you absolutely deserve that.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
There are, it's all contextual.
Avalanche, St. Louis. Ooh. Avalanche is up 2-1 as per us doing this podcast right now on Sunday, May the 22nd. I watched the game last night. Mm-hmm. Wow, like Avalanche once again just looking like a mighty force. And you know, that's a very physical series for sure. Like they are beating themselves up. So you know, I'm looking at that and like, you guys need to calm down because there's still a couple more rounds to go after this.
Well, I think St. Louis is doing a really great job with them, honestly. And if Binnington had not been Dwayne Roloson out of that game, then it would have been a different story. I still believe a little bit less if Binnington is going to be injured for a little bit longer. Because I don't think he came back into that game. The chances of St. Louis are a little bit lower because Ville has shown a little bit of shakiness. It's his first playoffs, you know, there's a lot of pressure. But if they can settle that down, St. Louis is playing the way that I expected them to play against Colorado, and why they're still my pick to come out of this series. Mm-hmm. And that's the team that I would rather play as if the Oilers make it out of there. So,
Kadri's move. Is that accidentally on purpose or just strictly on purpose?
Oh, gosh. That it was such a fast play that, you know, because I need to take a second look at it. I need to take it from a third look at it. Because when I think of it initially, it's, I guess you can assume that he was pushing him into Binnington, but
it was so quick. I think he was actually going for the puck.
Yeah.
And they were tangled up and he just said, well, I'm going there anyway. So I'm just going to go. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to go.
Wow. And you know, then again, it's all okay. The rules, you know, they're so okay. Again, contextual. It's like, oh, did he make an effort to get out of the way? You know, did he actually push? And this same play happens every single game. Every game you see this situation where there's a rush and people run right into the goalies and they try and make an effort out, or they try not to, but there's always minimum two people on top of a goalie at least once in a game.
It is crazy. Such a physical game. That's why it's like the hardest trophy to win. Lastly, Carolina, New York. Carolina up 2-0. Yes. Uneventful, in my opinion. I like Carolina. That one, I don't really know. I think that I'm thinking it's going to go to 5 for Carolina, in my opinion. But I think Carolina is looking really good. I feel like they started off kind of slow and still was able to come out of it. And they're just, now they're rolling.
See, the waves of teams go like this, and you got to catch the right one at the right time. Heading into the playoffs, they were on the dip, but I think people thought they were on the beginning of the dip. I think they were just finishing their dip, and now they were finding their game again and going back up to the Carolina earlier in the season, which was absolute dominance, which was second, third, first throughout the season in regards to how well they were playing in power rankings. Check out the hockey guy on YouTube as well. He does all that. They're looking nice and steady. And I like that. They're deadly. And I knew that they would, if hopefully they continue it, take out the Rangers. Because the Rangers, for me, there's just, I don't believe.
Right. I am shocked at what's going on in Florida. Like the Panthers, wow, that surprised me as well. I would at least expected it to be like 2-1 after the first two games, but they better pull up their bootstraps because it could be really short in sunny Florida.
It is going to be tough. I am so far 3-4. Once St. Louis wins a couple, I'll be 4-4. Mm-hmm. Will be ideal. That I knew Tampa was, again, two-time Stanley Cup winner. People were kind of doubting them as they're not as good as they were the last couple of years. That means there's less pressure on them. And they don't have any pressure. They have none.
Yeah,
they're the two-time. So they don't need to win this year. They're still amazing. Yeah. And I think that they're such a strong team all around that I think that they're probably going to make it to the final again, because if who comes out, let's say that they're looking good, they make it to the conference finals against Carolina and New York. Are you really going to take Carolina and New York over Tampa Bay?
Wow. Which makes me so upset because the Leafs were playing so good against, is that the effort that Florida was giving in the second round? We could have had that. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Exactly. And then, again, if you're going further, Toronto versus New York, Carolina, again, I would take Toronto over those guys anytime.
Maddening. So,
hey.
All right, you're listening to So On Ice, the podcast. And when we come back from the Arizona Coyotes, Boco Imama. All right, I'm really excited about our next guest. He's been on the show before, but this is his first time one-on-one. It's all about him. I really love this young man's grind. He's been working really hard, and his hard work paid off this past season as the Arizona Coyotes called him up for his very first NHL game. My soul brothers and soul sisters, let me introduce to you Boco Imama. Boco, what's happening, my man?
Thanks for having me, my brother.
Last time you were with us, we had like Akil, we had Elijah, we had everybody on there. So you didn't get your shine. This time you get your shine. This is all about you, man. So thanks for joining. And I want to start off by sharing a very funny story that I think you both will find amusing. So, Boco, as you know, I was out in Phoenix with the Black History Mobile Museum. We didn't get to connect. You were on your way to the game, traffic, routine, couldn't connect, which is all good. So your jersey was inside the truck, and myself, my wife, Nicole, my son, Hendrix, were there. We're going to the game. We take the Boco jersey. We're going to rock the jersey at the game. So Nicole's wearing the jersey. We're going into one of the GM's wife's suite. We're sitting there, and the suite beside us, everybody is staring at us. Hard. Nicole is like, yo, what's these people's problem? And we're like, if it's on, it's on. Like, what's up?
Oh, man.
It's on.
At a hockey game, it's on in the friggin' bleachers.
So they're what staring. And so I look back, and the lady looks at us, and she says, sorry, but are you Boco's father? I go, what?
She said,
are you Boco's father? I said, no. I know him. I'm here to support, but I mean, come on, B.
Oh my God.
I get that though. Yeah, she saw your brother. She saw you rocking the jersey.
Right.
She saw some black people. And she thought, because we were in the suite. So later, Hendrix ended up falling asleep during like the beginning of the third period. So we left. And Boca will tell you there. This is the last game of Phoenix was playing at that arena. And it was an amazing finish. It was an amazing finish, which we missed because my son fell asleep and we left. Walking out of the building, this lady turns and stops us and says, "Congratulations with Boca. We're so proud of him." I said, "What you mean? What? What? Why are you telling me congratulations?"
Right, right.
So
that was that same lady.
A different lady.
It was a different lady.
A different lady said, "Congratulations to you and Boca."
So Kwame, you've been stealing my shine over there. You've been
what right. I'm gonna do from now on.
You know what? They were huge again, huge Soul on Ice fans. You know, they know they're celebrating Bocos, they're celebrating all of us POC in the game, you know. Uh-huh. So they were like, congrats. Sure. Just like, you know, all the people are saying, asking me on my Instagram every day if I'm Jason Robertson's cousin or anything like that.
That's hilarious. I know,
I'm not, just to confirm.
I know for sure, Boca, when I get back out to Phoenix this summer, any restaurant I go to, I'm going to wear your jersey and I'm getting free food.
You are.
I like that. I like it. You should actually try it. You should try it. See where that goes.
Yeah. So talk to us, man. Let's do a little backstory on you. Talk about how you got interested in hockey at the very first time. Like, when do you remember falling in love with this game?
I think it goes way back in the days. I was about, you know, 4 years old, and you know, I played like five different sports growing up. I just played all of them, you know, growing up, and hockey was in the mix too. And but yeah, I just remember going in all those tournaments, you know, and hockey always had like that competitive, just that another feel to it. You know, I think that every hockey player can, you know, relate to. And yeah, and then, you know, that was it. I just feel like it was the moment that I put on those skates and, you know, just loved it and stuck with it.
And where's your family from originally?
So my both my parents, so they were born and raised in Congo and back in Africa. And, but yeah, but my parents had they were born there, but they had the chance to grow up a little bit in Canada too. They had the chance to, you know, raise their kids, my sisters and I, who were all born and raised here in Montreal. So, yeah, there's a little backstory on my family.
Nice. And you know, throughout the game, and I want Jordan to jump in after this, but you know, when it comes to the game of hockey, we know that it hasn't always been an easy road for people of color. I just wondered, from your standpoint, has hockey ever made you feel uncomfortable?
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. Hockey has made me uncomfortable many, many times. Till today, I'm still, you know, I still have to find new ways to how to, you know, make myself, you know, comfortable in this hockey culture that, you know, we love to say, obviously we know it's dominantly white. So there could be a lot of uncomfortable things that may, you know, happen along the way, or just feel along the way, but it's all about my growth too. You know, I'm happy to grow every day, every year, about my experience, and you know, try to make it a better place.
So you said you had siblings.
Yes,
or have siblings. And are you the oldest? Are you in the middle? Are you the youngest?
Yeah. So I'm actually. So I have four sisters. I'm in the middle of the four sisters, and we also have an older brother, a half brother, that he lives in Africa. I have two little sisters, two oldest, one
big girl. Big family. So, because when someone is so elite at what they do in the family. You know, that can rub off on other people. So I guess my question is, did the hockey rub off on anyone else, either older or younger?
No, I'm the only one that, you know, ended up, you know, just being an athlete, you know, overall. Obviously, all my sisters have played sports growing up. They were all pretty talented, though. You know, growing up, we actually had some good battles in the house, even though they were, you know, they are girls, but, you know, they were still able to give up some good, you know, some good sports battles growing up. But, nah, it's just me. It's just me.
My wife's a professional CrossFitter, so women are absolute monsters when they want to be in beasts in the games they want to play. So,
when they want to be, when they want to be, for sure.
You know, you've got the Barry White bass in the voice. You ever thought about R&B singing?
R&B? Nah, yeah. Not really R&B. Maybe, I've been hearing about, like, some radio, you know, stuff like that. So, look, we'll see.
Voice work, yes. For sure.
Voice work, anything.
Thriller, horror podcasts in your future. That can, you know, a little bit of that kind of stuff.
Never know. I'll keep, you know, hopefully it catch the right ear.
Mm-hmm.
Someone come with something, a literal deal.
What are your thoughts on the playoffs so far? What has stood out to you? Shockers? Anybody disappointing? Like, what are your thoughts?
Oh, not really disappointing. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of pressure on Toronto. Everybody wanted to see them, like, win their first playoff round for so long. But I feel like everyone's there with some great hockey. They were just so tight. Some good hockey games. They're all physical. I like that one with Calgary, Edmonton right now. Just there's been some good hockey overall. Like, I don't even know who's gonna get it this year. It's just nice to sit back and just watch from when you don't have to, you know, do the work. But it's nice.
Well, Jordan is from Edmonton, big fan of the Oilers. I used to live in Edmonton. I'm a big fan of the Oilers. If you were to give a prediction on who's gonna win the Battle of Alberta, who would you be siding with from what you've seen so far?
Well, now you guys just 2-on-1 me pretty much. So let's just go with the Oilers. We'll try to finish this part on a good note.
Right.
Well, friends. Both teams are good, though. Both teams are good. They don't have threat.
You know, let's talk about what that felt like for you for your first NHL game. Can you talk about getting called up? Like, who was the first person you called? What were your thought process that day of? And then how did you handle the actual, you know, first skate out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, every player is gonna say dream come true. It's like, you know, the first word, you know, you want to say. And, you know, I just remember, you know, having that call and, you know, just hearing the word that, you know, you're going to get called up and, you know, you're going to go play your first NHL game the next day. And, you know, just, I don't really know how to describe, you know, that feeling. It just, I was just so stunned, so happy, you know. After the call, I needed a little 5 minutes to myself, you know, to just take it in and just, you know, tell myself that, yeah, I'm going to do this. And, like, you know, I finally, you know, made it happen. And then, yeah, obviously I called my parents. You know, I had to call my parents. I had to share the news with the family. And yeah, it was just so great, you know. Just fast forward to that first night. It was just so great just being in the room, you know, just seeing my jersey in the, you know, my name. The last name, you know, Imama, in an NHL, in an official, you know, NHL jersey for a game. Just everything. The whole thing was just so amazing. And then, yeah, when I skated on the ice, just making sure I was not, you know, going to take a wrong step there. You know, I knew it was, you know, all cameras on me, you know, whatever. But I just enjoyed the game. And, yeah. right after the game, it was, I feel like the after the game was so great too, is because you realize that you have that one NHL game and that no one gonna ever take that away from you. So the whole feeling from after, during, and before, it was just great.
I can imagine. I can't even imagine being able to be called up and you're stepping on the, just as a fan, you know, all of us are just like, let me suit up one day, you know, that kind of thing. But to actually have earned it, that is amazing. I'm congratulations to you, Boca. You mentioned a couple moments, so it almost overwrites the question I was going to ask. You mentioned your moment you saw your name on the back of the jersey. That's a big moment, you know, the moment that you kind of step out on the ice. So my specific question is, when you were on the ice, when you were actually playing, did you have a moment where it was a welcome to the NHL kid kind of moment, whether that was, you know, getting rocked by some of the big boys in the big league, or, you know, or just making a play like, yeah, okay, I could do this here in the NHL, you know, just, it's simple, but a breakout pass or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my first game, you know, obviously my first couple shifts, my first two shifts, obviously, you know, I was pretty jacked up, all excited. So I think I looked good because I was, you know, pretty much just running around and hitting everybody, you know. But I remember in the second period getting caught on the long change, Washington putting their first line right away, and it's like Ovechkin and all those guys just skating around trying to score a goal, and we couldn't get out of our zone for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and it was, this shift, it was like tornado pretty much. And yeah, that was like kind of like my welcome to the NHL moment, because I was like, all right, if I want to stick around here, you know, I got to make sure I'm ready to weather those storms that might be coming in this league. So yeah.
You know, when you say that word, if I want to stay in the league, that really triggers something for me. So what is it that you have to do to stay in the league? You know, what is it about your game is going to allow you to play 500 games down the road?
So at the end of the day, like, we all know my role, you know, I don't think I really have to repeat it again, but I think it just me to bring it every game, just, you know, take advantage of my chances. Like, I feel like I did a little bit in the low stand that I had. I knew I was coming in there and just doing everything possible to keep sticking around. So that's what I'm going to keep doing, whether it's, you know, finishing hits, getting a fight, putting whatever it takes. I'm just going to bring that every game. And moving forward, make sure I put myself in where I want to be.
You have to be that guy that once you step on the ice, the opposing team has to be like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
Here he comes. Keep your head up.
Here he comes. Right? Yeah. And then, you know, yeah. You know, it's that's what it is. That's a big part of my game. That's what creates space for myself. That's what creates space for my teammates, you know. And you just got to embrace that. You got to embrace that. Got to enjoy being that guy. Now I'm enjoying my off season. Now I can just be more laid back. But yeah.
I guess my last question for you, and I'll let Jordan end it off after this. But I would say, for a guy who plays so physically like you do, you know, A, it's got to be very hard on the body, and B, what are you doing, you know, in the off season to kind of make sure that your body stays that ready, and that you take care of yourself?
Yeah, like you said, it's just, you know, taking care of myself. It's going into a training, making sure I'm preparing the right way. Every players have their own routine. I have my own way to get, you know, to get ready, you know, for games, and after games too, you know, a lot of recovery stuff. And and yeah, in the off season, I actually switch up my training a little bit. I'm not doing too much weightlifting anymore. Sorry, and I'm more into running now. Taking care of my conditioning, making sure I'm staying light, healthy, because I know the physical side is something that comes a little bit more natural for me. So I just got to make sure that, you know, I'm able to keep up out there.
And then my last question here, especially, you know, we were talking about 500 games, 1,000 games down into your career, right? You've, by that point, you've carved out a niche of what kind of player that you are. Opponents know exactly what they're going to get once Boca Imama steps on the ice. What would you prefer down the line? Because you've played 1,000 games. Would you rather be penalty killing, or would you rather be on the power play?
That's a good question.
There's pride in both. There's pride in, when I was playing other sports, I didn't get to play hockey. I had a lot of pride in my defensive game, because my hands weren't as good as, same like basketball and other kind of stuff. So on my defensive game, I was like, that put me out there, because nobody's getting past me. But again, every single player is different. So I'm wondering, you know, what back in the future, what are you feeling?
Absolutely. I think it will be my power play. Absolutely. I think my shot, I think I have a pretty good shot. It's been giving me success in some level in hockey, not in professional, but I've been able to score in some leagues. And I just feel like I'm a little bit more comfortable there.
You know, what we didn't ask you about, which we have to ask you about, was your first goal. Now, did you score your first goal on your first game, or was it the second game?
So, yeah, that was the second game.
What was that like? Give us that moment of scoring your first goal in the NHL. And what did you do with the puck?
So... Well, let me start with the puck. I don't have the puck yet. So the team is going to like frame it and do something cool for me, I guess, and then send it over. But if we go back to the first goal, like, call me. I don't know what to say. I was not expecting it, you know, to come that early. You know, I was like, you know, maybe a fight. Maybe it's going to be a fight, my highlight here. But, you know, like I said earlier, I knew I was there to take full advantage of my opportunity, and you know, just drove to the net. And when I saw that puck kind of like trickle was coming to my, you know, to my blade, I was just, you know, telling myself, okay, don't miss it. And you know, just got a touch on it. And when I saw it go in, it's like, it just, like, I just couldn't believe it. Like, seeing everyone getting up, and, you know, the boys, you know, just jumping on me, telling, you know, just letting me know that how I'm never going to forget that one. And this fellow was just, it was just amazing, you know, and it was just like a little relief too that I felt inside of me, because it hasn't always been easy. And even this year, there was time this year in the AHL, and I was there for 50-some games. You know, it's a grind. So when I finally, but it's crazy how things can change really fast, really quick. And to be able to have that feeling, I don't know, it was just a great moment.
Well, man, congratulations on your first goal. Congratulations on, you know, getting called up on the show. And, you know, we're hoping for the best for you in the future. You have grinded it out. You've worked really hard. And, you know, at the end of the day, and I'm sure your parents have told you this, some people in Phoenix think that I'm one of your parents. But anyways, you know, it's all on you, bro. You know, if whatever happens now is on you, and it's about your work ethic. It's about the kind of person you're going to be in the dressing room, the kind of person you're going to be to the management. And all I will say to you, brother, is if you keep working hard, you're going to keep having those opportunities, and you're going to have a lot of games in the NHL. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for young brothers like you to inspire the next generation. And I know you can do that. And I'm really looking forward to being able to do something with you in the future to help spread the word of Boko and Mama all across the NHL, man. So congratulations, good luck in the future, and thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, man, Jordan, thanks to you guys. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Boko.
Boko and Mama on Soul on Ice, the podcast. What a really cool guy, no?
Yeah, he was really great. And I'm really excited for what's coming for him, because he looks like he's hungry for another dopamine hit of a goal. And he wants that hit. He wants the next one. So I'm excited to see what he can do in Arizona.
I'm really rooting for him just because of the grind he has been on these years of just working so hard to get to this point. And I really hope that the Coyotes, as they're rebuilding and trying to come in a lot stronger, I hope their management team holds them and gives them the opportunity to show what he's got. Because like I said, it's on him now, and I think he's ready for it.
And that's why I asked him the question about the power play and the PK, because, you know, there's always a place, especially you're watching deep into these playoffs, where every single player who steps on the ice is important and has to be effective. So whether you are an enforcer, a grinder, or a scorer, you have to step on the ice and show that you are honestly irreplaceable in the playoffs. So I can see Boko with his, like, he's a big boy. What, plant him in front of the net on the power play where he wants to be, right? And that goalie's not going to see anything. You know, he works on his tip game, all that kind of stuff. Then all of a sudden, he's a regular.
Right, exactly. Jordan, great, great analysis once again. Thank you so much for joining me and hanging out. And we will do this again next week. You know, obviously, there'll be a couple of games. Any predictions as far as Edmonton-Calgary goes?
Oh, boy. I'm going to predict that it's going to swing to the Oilers in game three at very least, just because of how they found their game towards the right after the second period. I don't think they're going to have three games in a row where they're sleeping in the first 5 minutes. I hope not, at least. So I'm going Oilers for game three.
All right. There you have it. We'll check back in next week, folks. Thank you very much for joining us on Soul on Ice, the podcast. Make sure you check us out on all social media platforms. And make sure you subscribe, rate, and review for Jordan Buhat, nice, for Akil Thomas, for Elijah Roberts, for Brother B. My name is Kwame, and we are out. Salute.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power, statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson, I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house with a gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, only working. against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the past from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. Young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.